Welcome to the UK Fantasy Football Show, Goal's weekly podcast that discusses many a football fan's favourite pastime. We'll be reacting to the results of Game Week 16, diving into Tottenham's topsy-turvy season so far, and revealing our teams for Game Week 17. This week, joining me, Sam and Dave, is Goal's editor-in-chief, James Dickens. How have you been faring so far in this FPL season, James? I know the answer.
I think your voice says it all. Badly.
Badly.
Badly, yeah. I haven't looked at it since the first week.
What's your total points?
I think at the moment. Yeah. Where do I find? No. I'm on 600 and something.
Oh, yeah.
600. I'm really bad, essentially. I found out I had four injured players. Also had Christian Eriksen, who wasn't really playing.
Some bad preseason picks basically let you down.
Well, yeah, it was, but it's also a self-preservation thing because I'm uniformly terrible at fantasy. Even having run games in various different guises throughout my years, I've always been awful at them. So
consistent.
Yeah, well, I just picked them and then I did play them quite consistently and then they did badly. So I thought if I left it and it did badly, it would make me feel a bit better about myself.
Not
so.
Wasted your time on it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And my emotion as well. I'm 96 in the zone league.
That might be bottom.
I think it is bottom, yeah. Because there seems to be a gap between 60 and 96 and I can't find anyone else. So, 51 and then 96. 603 points. So, yeah, okay. I am rock bottom.
That's pretty poor.
Are you high up on any of the like leagues with friends or anything like that?
No.
I take a bit of consolation from the fact that I'm doing slightly better in other leagues.
Are you winning any?
Yeah, I'm winning the Friday Night Football one that I've mentioned. It's got 12 people in it, but I'm top of it. So I'm taking that as a bit of a bonus every week.
Compared to being bottom in ours.
The bottom in the three. It's a good three, though, I like to think.
It is. We've got some strong scores so far. So that segues nicely into this bit then. So Sam is clinging on for dear life at the top of the table now. 899 points he's got.
Just making it interesting.
I'm on 896 now. Slowly, not even slowly, I'm rapidly ascending towards your level. I think this weekend will see me finally topple you.
The Chambers train is coming.
It is, yeah. It's unstoppable.
Well, as I said, it's Christmas. If you want to have a little go at the top, it's fine. I'm all for sharing. Dave's had a turn.
60 points last week.
I'm a bit bored of being top, if I'm honest.
Is there any way you can work out a way that I can have a go? Like, get me 300 points in the next couple of days.
Dave's got some top tips.
60 points, Dave. That's
a good week.
One of your better weeks.
It was. It's a solid week. I just need about five or six more weeks like this, and Sam underperforming for five or six more weeks, and I might be there or thereabouts.
Well, you only got 9 more points than me.
Exactly. So 5 or 6 more weeks, and I reckon I'll be there.
We're not far away from the second waiver round now, where we can just go in and just change all the wildcard round. Sorry. Or we can just change everybody again.
So when does that come in?
I think it's January. I think as soon as the new year comes in, it's just like, right, here you go. Do you think you'll tear your team up, or are you happy with how it's panning out?
Probably not, because I've got players in there at the moment who are solid point scorers. So your Madison's, Ali, Mane, he's won over Christmas, might change out. Vardy, Abraham, I'm happy with these guys. Chilwell.
Who's on your bench?
Bench is a bit more... Yeah, Delafeu, Gibson, again from Burnley. That's probably one who's just been there.
How did Delafeu do at the weekend?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think I'm losing
I'm
the Delafeu.
I'm claiming my 4 points. Right.
I'm losing the Delafeu bet. Yeah, he actually got 2 points, which is more than Mane. So there you go. But Cantwell's another one who's kind of just a bit of a dead in the water, I think, really.
Your tactic of picking up our players is working out.
Yeah.
All right for you now.
Yeah.
No, it's just attritional climbing up the table. Sam, you got 51 points this week.
Yeah, which is
above,
all right.
Above average, but...
Yeah, it's below average.
Is it below average?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you take the 4 points Dave owes me, then I'm just above average.
54 points, sorry, average was it.
Yeah, I got screwed over by my captain choice. I put Mane in. He was dropped for strangely. And then I've never thought about my vice-captain, so it was Lundstrom. So at 4 points, which it doesn't really. I've not got too worked up about it because I probably would have put Abraham in, and he got 2 points as well. So, yeah.
Will that happen a lot at this time of year? Random big players being rotated like that, and you can't really predict it.
Yeah, especially if you picked a Man City one. You can never predict that anyway.
It starts to happen this time of year, doesn't it? When the Champions League group stage goes and you get the fixture pile up at Christmas. And then once the Champions League is back, then the rotation begins again.
I reckon it's the team is relevant to that as well. So Leicester, for instance, probably aren't going to rotate that much. You know that Vardy and Maddison are going to play unless they're injured.
Yeah.
So whereas some of the bigger teams have probably got a bit more scope to rotate slightly bigger players.
Yeah, I think Firmino won't play this weekend.
Mm. Is that your call? So was it Salah dropped the week before or then Mane?
Yeah,
the weekend.
Mane at the weekend just gone.
So Firmino's turn.
A bit more space for Big Divock to come back in.
Yeah. I'm just looking at my team now. Vardy got most points for me without the captain. He got 13 points. I mean, you'd be mad not to have Vardy right now, wouldn't you, on FPL?
Yeah.
I was speaking to a person we had on at the start of the season, Steve Crawford, who was champion last season in the goal league.
How did that happen?
And he doesn't have Vardy. And I just can't believe anyone who doesn't
does
have
still
Vardy
drink right water?
Now, he does still drink water. That was an amazing pick from him. I'm just looking at Vardy's ownership, 50%. I can't believe half people don't have Vardy.
I still don't have him, yeah. I captained him last week. And
so that's where half your points came from.
Exactly, yeah.
I had Son as my captain, so I was very content with his performance. Spurs had a brilliant result, didn't they? After the loss against Man United.
Got spanked by Man United.
Yeah. Spanked. They played very well.
Were you at the game?
Yes, and from a fantasy point of view, obviously, there was a lot of point scorers. I think it's good. Clean sheet, which Spurs haven't been getting of late, and knocked some goals in. So yeah, and Son was amazing, as you say.
Yeah, wasn't a lot of clean sheets at the weekend. Actually, Liverpool got a clean sheet as well. But that was pretty much. Oh, Watford and Crystal Palace shared a ball draw. I can't imagine many people have Watford. And
that was Palace's third clean sheet on
Palace
the trot.
Palace are doing well on the.
I've had Kelly as my third sub three weeks on the trot.
You're not learning your lesson. He's been doing it all season. He's one of the highest scoring defenders, and you've got him running away as your third sub.
Everyone had him at the start of the season as well, didn't they? Because he was just,
so
just an easy...
4 million.
They weren't even thinking Palace were going to do well. It was just a case of just sticking him in. He was just one of those.
And at no week do I ever think Palace will do well.
Nah, you still got to change that mentality.
Yeah, they're
even though they're having a lucky season.
From, well, I mean, they were playing Watford, so you know, it doesn't even count.
And he wasn't playing a lot, but they've had some injuries, and he's come in and he's done quite well.
Yeah,
they've got Brighton at home this on Monday night. Are you going to put him in for that one? Or are you going to let him fester still?
It's a derby, is that one?
It's apparently a derby.
Yeah,
ridiculous. I think I'm gonna be letting him fester.
Letting him fester.
Yeah.
Because
I've got too many other big dogs ahead of him, and they're not going to keep four clean sheets on the trot. It's preposterous.
I also think with it being a bit of a feisty game, that one it could go either way as well. Despite the way Palace have been playing.
I think Brighton are pretty good going forward, though. I think they'll struggle to keep a clean sheet in that one, Palace.
Mm.
Yeah, but they kept a clean sheet against Rashford, Martial, James, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But Rashford's rubbish, as we learnt in our discussions last night. So.
In the public UK fantasy football show, our new leader is a team by the name of Goal, which is fitting. And he has 998 points. So he's very close to breaking those four figures. Surely going to do it this weekend.
It's going to be double me fairly shortly.
Listeners, you can join our league and test yourself against us all season long. The code stipend on the FBL website is NHC4WZ. Let's move on then. So this week we're going to dive in depth into Spurs as our resident Spurs expert James is here, season ticket holder. I thought I'd ask, really, by kicking off with...
I'm also a neutral journalist, by the way.
Also a neutral journalist, just so happens to support Spurs. What on earth went so wrong with Pochettino in the last few months, do you think?
I don't think anything went so particularly wrong. I think it was kind of just entropy. They were bored with the same message being delivered from the same person, from the same training staff, to the same players. And... given that the players hadn't been refreshed and nor the training staff, I think having been in the training ground a little bit, I think the players just they still love Pochettino, but they weren't motivated by him anymore to win games. They were taking losses too well, and they were just kind of jogging along. And I think there was formation changes which Pochettino tried, which didn't really work and didn't really change the feeling around the club. And unfortunately, I think at that point, there was no way they could go. they'd got to a point where the previous 18 months they hadn't invested in players, and at that point you'd need to bring in too many players in each window from now for the next kind of three windows, which wouldn't be good for team spirit and continuity. And so it was the manager who unfortunately had to go, and it wasn't his fault. It was an issue that was put on him by the club and the moving of the stadium and all that kind of thing.
There were signs there, weren't there, that things weren't quite right sort of last season with your away form, which kind of continued into this season, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the away form's always been up and down, but if you look at the last season at White Hart Lane, Spurs were unbeaten. And then they had the Wembley time, and which ran over, and then there was this last season when we moved into the new stadium and quite late. The away form was dropping off, and it all kind of, none of this is Pochettino's fault, and he dealt with so much, with such grace, and he was brilliant. Kind of moving the club from one type of club to a new club, but and the business of Tottenham Hotspur didn't help him, and the form started dropping, and they just invested in players too late, and there's so many holes in the squad that needed addressing, and they hadn't. Even the players that were brought in, like Lo Celso and Ndombele and Sessegnon, were brought in too late, didn't have a chance to have a proper pre-season, and also, you know, Pochettino's he's a disciple of Bielsa, and two training sessions a lot of the time, hardly any days off, and I think the players were just mentally drained.
Would you take him at United, Sam? Poch?
Not at the moment.
No.
Ask me next week.
Okay.
he created a great team, and you know, they seem to be well drilled, tactically astute, and played good football. I think Ole has very much got to prove that at the moment. Two fantastic results do not a really good manager make.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got to go beat the lower echelons of the league in a similar style.
Yeah, we haven't really touched on the fact that at the weekend, Man City, I think it's safe to say were heavy favourites against United, came away looking like chumps.
It's the Rashford effect, isn't it? Well, no, it's not even that, it's the McTominay effect.
He was great.
He just makes people better around him.
Mm.
I think Poch would be a suitable replacement, but you can't get rid of Ollie at the moment.
No.
So he bought himself probably about another month and a half, 2 months.
You'd think so, yeah. I mean, you're fifth now. I think you've clawed your way up a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, third is still on. Third is still on.
I love the fact that Newcastle are now 2 points off fifth. We're not that far off relegation either, because it's just so condensed in that little middle area. But 2 points off fifth.
When you've got Shelby and the long staff eyes, then anything's on, mate.
I absolutely loved it at the weekend when I saw that Andy Carroll had crossed for Shelby to score a header. And I just thought, when I was reading the live text commentary, how has this happened? What is Andy Carroll doing out on the wing? You want him in the box doing that.
So you wouldn't get that under Benitez, would you? Everyone's all one with stick to their positions.
Yeah, hasn't like defenders scored half your goals or something this season?
Yeah, our attackers are just utterly useless.
Total football.
They're just like decoys though, aren't they?
Yeah, just distracts the defenders. The defenders think they're going to be who scores, but now you've got Shelby smashing it in from 20
yards. I'm not sure why they think that, because they're not scoring.
That's very true, yeah. Poorly trained.
Just leave him. Don't mark him.
Don't worry about Almiron. He does absolutely nothing. Yeah.
I do really like Shelby. He's one of those players that if he's playing against any team that you support, you utterly detest him. But if he's on your team, oh, wow, what a player.
Yeah. He's not been like, he was okay under Benitez. He wasn't ever like fantastic. Last season he certainly didn't stand out, but certainly this season you can't fault his form. I think he's like 4 goals in 6 games, which is unreal.
He loves the Hollywood pass, doesn't he? Yeah. I'd love to have seen him and Steven Gerrard when they were training at Liverpool together. They must have just been pinging the ball, like, just crossing the ball from one side of the pitch to the other constantly. Oh, guys, get it down.
And then Xabi as well, lovely little triangle there. Yes. The
first section's going well.
Just the whole pitch.
We often get distracted. Yeah. Anyway, let's deviate back then towards Mourinho. What impact has he had on the team? Seems like a good impact.
Yeah, it does. I mean, with Pochettino, you can see what the work he did, because he took over from Tim Sherwood, and Mourinho's taken over from him. So that's a hell of a jump. I mean, yeah, he seems to have kind of got they want to win more. They want to impress him more. He's starting to involve the kids more. But really, this is still the honeymoon period, and there are so many problems. the Bayern game showed up a lot of the lack of squad depth. The midfield's a mess. The fullbacks are a mess. So he's got a lot of work to do. And you can come in and motivate people for a while, but there's a lot of stuff. And he's made some changes that were obvious. Like, there's basically one functioning defensive midfielder in the whole club, Eric Dier, who's not functioning that well anyway, but he's got knees, unlike Victor Wanyama, and that's kind of it. So aside from that, he's brought him in. But then there's still so much work to do, and it's what he does with that, with Ndombele and Lo Celso. And Lo Celso is a weird thing, because if Spurs qualify for the Champions League, we have to buy him, even though Mourinho doesn't really want him.
From an FPL perspective, a lot of managers have now got Ali in the team. What has Mourinho, I mean, other than just putting an arm around him or whatever, and did it seem an obvious thing to do that Ali was one of those players who was going to be helped by a new manager bounce? And what do you think, what's Mourinho actually done to get him in front of goal and get him on the score sheet?
I think Ali's really interesting, because he's kind of a real reflection of the whole club. He was a young up and coming player when he joined Spurs, and Spurs were on the same way. Now he dipped a little bit. He's an established international, but he's not actually been getting in the England squad. And he needed something. He's not a kid anymore. Although, he's 22, 23, but he's
been in the game a while.
Yeah, he's played a lot of games. Mm. Especially, he was obviously captain at MK Dons at a really young age, and then I think he needed something new. He needed a new voice. He needed, like, the club needed a new voice. And Mourinho's done that. And really, he's simply put him in his best position. He's put him as a number 10, not as a creative number 10, but a number 10. He's kind of a second striker. As I think Mourinho said, he's a 9.5 when Spurs have the ball and an 8.5 when they don't. And he's really close to Harry Kane, which is what he's good at. And it's just getting him involved more. I think the issue was really is trying to fit all those players in the same team, because Lo Celso wants to play as a 10, Eriksen wants to play as a 10, Ali wants to play as a 10. And a lot of the time, actually, Pochettino wasn't even playing with a 10. He was playing 4-3-3. And so that position didn't really exist. So it was really difficult.
Had Pochettino lost faith in Ali, or was it just that Ali was totally disengaged because he'd essentially got a bit bored of the regime?
No, I don't think it's either of those. He was injured for a long time, and then he came back in, and he was building back up to fitness. And actually, he'd been playing quite well under Pochettino from the left, from a deeper midfield role in a three. Obviously, a lot of the relationships he had on the pitch with people like Eriksen weren't happening, because Eriksen wasn't playing. There's a lot of the issue was around, you know, having no defensive midfielder. If you look at the United game with Sissoko and Winks, every player in the front kind of third of the pitch was always looking behind them, because there's no one doing the defensive work. There's not, even if you just have a static human just standing there, then it's better than those two all running all over the place. So I think Ali just needed some stability and to be played in the same position.
Mourinho's got this reputation of parking the bus. So do you think it's still a bit of a gamble getting Spurs defenders in the FPL team?
No. I mean, the parking the bus thing was really only in big games. Actually, when he played smaller teams, there was always, you know, Drogba and Lampard and Robben and Cole and, you know, all these players. So I think there's a problem getting Spurs defenders in your fantasy team, because the defenders aren't that good. And there's the structure. Mourinho's talking all the time about defensive process, right? And it's the whole team. And, you know, there's the whole thing now with the left back tucking in and the Aurier going up in the right wing. And Spurs.
So Aurier's probably a good option.
He's a modern day Dani Alves.
Mm. Yeah, he's quite modern like Cafu, isn't he? Yeah. Or Capo. Anyway, but yeah, he's. I mean, you can get him in, but Spurs will concede goals. They'll always concede goals this season, because unless they can find a proper defensive midfielder in or get Ndombele working properly, they'll always concede goals. So if you're going to get some attacking points, fine.
I think he's a cheap Trent.
But he can't cross the ball, which is...
Yeah, but when you've got a shot like him, do you need to? Just shoot, see what happens. Shoot.
I know you're doing this to wind me up, but yeah.
Vertonghen, he's been out on the left. How's he doing?
Yeah, fine. I mean, he's a function of this new system that actually Ben Davis was really good at before he got injured, where, again, when Spurs have the ball, the left back tucks in to a three, and then Son is a kind of a left wing back, and Aurier pushes up. So he's fine for that kind of role. we'll get onto this later, but the problem is when you have a extremely fast winger against that left back, and especially one who hugs the touchline, so the left back has to be either pulled out or Son ends up marking him, and it's not ideal.
I thought Vertonghen did really well against Dan James.
He did, yeah. I mean, I think that was just an experience thing. And again, positionally, that was okay, because I think actually Aurier wasn't going forward that much because Rashford was pinning him back on the other side, and which again was creating a load of space in the middle with Winks on his own there. Sissoko was wandering around. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily pick Spurs defenders. The only thing I would say is that you might get a few assists from Toby Alderweireld because Spurs are going long a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, he picked up two assists when Ali scored the other week. So, yeah.
He could be a good pick then.
Yeah.
Son for me is at the moment the standout Spurs pick. I know we... do you have Ali, Sam, or did you drop him?
I've got Ali and I've got Alderweireld.
Got Alderweireld as well? Yeah. Was he transferred in?
Yeah, in there from the start. By start, I mean Mourinho.
All right, okay. Oh, that seems like a good pickup then. But yeah, for me, it's all about Son. He was brilliant at the weekend, scored that fantastic solo goal.
Was it that fantastic? He just ran in a straight line.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
He was running with a ball and the Burnley players were running without the ball. They couldn't catch him. that's just insane.
They just parted, didn't they?
It takes a real determination to get all that way and score. I thought it was a great goal. Not goal of the season. Shelby's got one of them contenders, I think, but... Certainly.
Mourinho. It's pretty cool having him as a manager now, surely, isn't it? Because he's just got that global appeal. And he's made, from a global perspective, what is essentially a small club in North London.
Continue.
He's been lining that up all.
They're globally relevant because, you know, it's sound bites.
Champions League finalists, yeah.
Yeah, everyone gets lucky every now and then, don't they? I think he's amazing for Spurs from a global perspective. And I think that's an extra level that he can help take the club to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's bigger name than Spurs. I don't think there's any doubt about that, really. And to attract him is amazing. So, I mean, and it's clear that's what the club is trying to do. They've got the Amazon documentary there. Having Mourinho there while they're filming that is incredible. There was more press at his unveiling press conference than there was at a Champions League final press conference with Pochettino. So, I mean, he's a big draw and he's a winner. That's the only thing that Pochettino couldn't do was win something. So that's what the players need. So yeah, I think from the Spurs brand, obviously they've not sold the naming rights for the stadium yet. I think if you package that all up with Mourinho,
is that what they're planning to do?
Yeah, I think so. Either that or sell the club. Yeah. And with that, it's a added value with the stadium that whoever buys it will be able to sponsor it rather than Spurs doing it. So
who would you like to sponsor it?
Dream sponsor.
Yeah, because I wouldn't like this. Yeah,
the Holston Pills stadium.
Yeah, no, I'd like Harrogate Council to do it and just call it White Hart Lane. That'd be really nice.
Like the Budweiser Bowl.
Yeah. I did like the Walker's Bowl at Leicester that they were going to do. No, I mean...
Walker's Bowl.
Kit Kat Christmas.
Yeah. I think Nike were the ones who are... Nike and Uber were the two that are up for it. I think Uber have got a bit of a problem in London at the moment, so probably steer clear of that. But, I mean, given they've just signed a 10-year deal with Nike, I think that's probably front and centre of it. But I know there's... I think they've asked the NFL sponsorship team to find them a sponsor, which indicates the US... So,
how fans taken to Mourinho? I know he's a bit of a Marmite character.
Yeah, it's interesting the way the club have done it. There was no announcement before his first game in charge at White Hart Lane, which is what I will call it from here on in. But yeah, there was no. Normally they bring the manager out into the middle of the pitch, and there's been nothing. He just kind of he's there. There's still a flag of Pochettino in the stadium, which is there every game. So I mean, the fans don't really like him. But if he starts winning things, and at the moment we're generally United game accepted, and obviously Bayern, they're winning games, so it's fine for now.
Bayern wasn't too important anyway, was it? You already had the Champions League knockout qualification in the bag.
Yeah, I think as long as he keeps this kind of happy chappy thing,
won't last long.
No, it won't. I mean, when they start losing, which they will, he'll inevitably go.
Tantrums.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, at the moment, he's okay.
It's a bit like with Steve Bruce, you know, like when he came in, fans certainly weren't on side. But, you know, you start winning games, it's hard to really knock him after that.
Yeah, and I think he's got something we need in terms of that winning mentality. But also, this is really his last chance at a Champions League tier club. So he needs us as well. So I think it's a marriage of convenience, which will probably last a couple of years and then see where we are from there. Hopefully get a kind of more progressive, younger Nagelsmann-style coaching.
What are your sort of like hopes slash realistic hopes for the season for Spurs?
I mean, I think top four and a cup of some description, FA Cup probably would be success. And then obviously aim for the title in the Champions League next season.
Still in the champ.
Yeah. It's like Sam's prediction for Man United.
Yeah.
And then Mourinho to go crazy and in the third season and.
How do you if he wins your first cup in, what, like 30?
No. League Cup.
League Cup.
Yeah. Oh, proper cup, though. you'd keep him forever. You'd make a bloody statue out of him, surely.
All right.
Maybe.
That statue of Juan de Ramos isn't coming along that well, though, I would say. So.
What do you guys make of Spurs? How do you think they'll do this season under
I think they'll finish fourth. I think it's inspired.
Just beneath Man United?
Yep. I think it's an inspired signing. Yeah. And
how's that going to work with Leicester, Man City and Liverpool?
Mate, it's football, isn't it? Anything can happen.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think if you want my hot take for how the season will pan out, I think Guardiola will all of a sudden decide that everyone will find out what his problem, how his team is set up. They will basically do a United on them. You know, it's the team that was 14th the other week, absolutely battered them. It means anyone can. Newcastle can now. Newcastle nearly did. So they'll fall down the wayside. They'll end up fifth. He'll quit, move to the US.
Oh, lovely.
Arteta will go to Arsenal, just keep them exactly where they are. City will fall apart. They will then get...
Ollie Solskjaer.
They will get Pochettino.
Okay.
And Leicester will finish second. Liverpool will drop a insane amount of points over the rest of the season, and there will be 3 points in it at the end of the season.
A few predictions in there.
If that's what we've got to rely on for Spurs to get to the top four, I'm slightly concerned.
It'd be amazing. And then, yeah, United finished third, obviously.
Okay. Was it last week you said Brendan Rodgers was going to be the next Manchester United manager?
I said he could.
Well, things have changed since then, though, but yeah. I'm assuming that's still...
I think amongst all that rubbish, the Pochettino to Man City thing was... That might well happen. I can definitely see him leaving at the end of the season, and I can definitely see Pochettino going there.
You see?
Yeah. No, that just kind of makes sense, weirdly, actually. Yeah.
Mm. What about you, Dave?
A stop clock's right once a day. You know?
What do you make of Spurs? Where do you think they'll finish?
I totally agree. They're on an upward trajectory, aren't they? So... I think, they finished third, fourth, maybe.
Yeah. Dave doesn't care, you can tell from
his face. I don't care. To be honest, as long as Son and Ali, because Son's on my roadmap, transfer roadmap. But as long as those guys keep firing FPL, I'm not too fussed. But
Son will keep firing.
I find Spurs inoffensive, so I quite like to see them do well.
Not sure how to take that.
Yeah.
Take it as a compliment, I guess.
Okay. They have some likeable players.
No discernible feeling towards them.
I don't hate them.
PH7 of football teams.
I've actually grown a bit of a dislike for Man City over the last couple of seasons a bit. I think some of it's a little bit fueled by the game when they played at Huddersfield. And I just thought the way they acted was pretty disrespectful in that game. But it was. I think it's a bit of that and just a bit of the whole... buying your way to success, which happens in football, but there's a lot of Man City have got a hell of a lot of resources. You know, they've got coaches for everything, they've got unlimited amount of funds to build the biggest stadiums, biggest facilities, best of everything they want, and to kind of see them falling short this season is actually quite satisfying.
There's a lot of unlikable factors about them. I mean, Pep Guardiola, he's a great manager, but he's a bit of a dick.
Totally.
Their owners, there's a lot to dislike about them. They're sort of personality of their team isn't very engaging. Like, you compare that, you look at their team, so you look at Liverpool's team, they have a lot more personality in that.
Yeah.
All the way through the team, really.
I also think they've missed a trick in... I think Pep's own arrogance has meant that he's not refreshed the team. He keeps persisting with Fernandinho in central defence rather than just playing Otamendi and Stones. They're not great, but, he could have bought another centre half. He bought Mangala all those years ago, and like, you know, it's him that's not refreshing his squad, and it's going to come back. It's coming back to them now. It's him that keeps going on about how great Foden is, but not playing him. And you know, there's big holes in that team, and they're down to him because they're not short of money. It's just he won't buy the players, and
yeah,
it's hubris.
Yeah, we've talked it earlier on this season, haven't we, about Man City's defensive problems and the fact that they've never really had a sort of nailed on centre back. Like, even when Pep Guardiola came in, Kompany was sort of tailing off a bit. He's been injured a lot of the time. Had some great moments while Guardiola's been there, but not been a mainstay of that defence.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, and when he left to go to Anderlecht, they haven't replaced him. And they were always only one injury away from this. And when Laporte got injured, here we are.
And now they're way off the title. It looks like Liverpool are storming the way.
I think this Christmas period, Liverpool will drop 8 points.
They've got a busy period, haven't they?
Very, very, very busy.
2 games in 2 weeks, 2 days next week.
Yeah, so I can't see. You know, he's obviously just about started rotating his front three. It's got to come back and bite them at some stage.
And if Alexander-Arnold or Robertson get injured, they're stuffed.
Yeah, Gomez ain't no fullback.
And nor's Milner.
And I think Lovren's potentially injured this weekend.
They've had a couple of defensive injuries, haven't they? Or slash goalkeeper injuries. Alisson obviously out for a while as well.
Does this mean Leicester are going to be genuine title contenders?
I hope so.
Nah.
I really hope so. I think that they have a team full of personality as well, a very likeable team at the moment. Rodgers seems to have a great impact. Vardy is just in stunning form. So
they're every neutral's choice, aren't they? Everyone likes them, except obviously for Spurs fans. I really dislike Leicester and hope they don't win the league.
Bitter memories of 2016 for you. I don't know. I think Leicester, it varies. I think at the moment they're very likeable. I think it helps as well for a lot of FPL managers. You get, when you have one of those players and they do really well for you, you just get that sort of bond with them. It's not a real bond, but it feels real.
Yeah.
So I've got Vardy, Madison and Soyuncu at the moment, who've just been the sort of pulling power of my team in dragging myself up.
Soyuncu's amazing, isn't he?
He is so cheap. He was 4.5 start of the season.
It looks like an 80s hair metal kind of defender, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's so a throwback.
Like, yeah.
But that whole Leicester team, like, it's a strong team. And Pereira is the top scoring defender in FPL at the moment, I think. He's expensive.
Yeah.
I can't get him in, but he's flying. Madison mentioned Tielemans is doing all right. Although you've dropped in now, haven't you?
Yeah, I swapped. I put Madison in for Tielemans.
Joined my Madison train. Mm. Sam tried to deter you.
He did, yeah, but I think it was just so I'd get less points.
Wouldn't dare to just feel it.
Right then, let's move on. Before we run through mine, Dave and Sam's team changes, James will be revealing his 1 week wonder team. He has to pick a team to get as many points as possible from this one game week. Last week, Jay bagged 51 points, which wasn't bad for someone who hasn't played fantasy football in 20 years, I think. So he did all right. Who have you picked for this challenge, James?
Well, as we previously discussed, I don't really know what I'm doing. But we, the two goalkeepers I've got are David Martin, because it's a really nice story. I know that doesn't really translate to fantasy points, but it's nice that he's playing for his childhood club.
Sam was slagging me off at the idea of putting him in the other week.
Yeah, and he was slagging me off about it yesterday when we were talking
about
Sam
Danny Bar, Ings. So, yeah. You know, this guy doesn't have a heart.
Yeah.
I was right, didn't get a clean sheet.
Yeah.
You were right.
But they're playing Southampton, so there's a chance of a clean sheet, although Danny Ings is scoring. But as we discussed yesterday, what, 5-5, he's not going to get 6-6. So.
Surely not.
Who's your backup keeper?
McCarthy of Southampton. So I'm hoping for a 0-0 there, to be honest.
Who's going to start in of those two? Martin?
Martin, yeah. Right, okay.
Defenders.
Alexander Arnold, obviously. Baldock, because he's cheap.
Why not? Yeah.
And Soyuncu.
What a man.
Yeah. Big thighs. And. And Kelly, Martin Kelly from Palace. So
are we missing one there? I can't do maths.
Well, that's four. I've got Fernandez from Newcastle, but he'll be on the bench. So I think
stand with four at the back. Cool.
I think so. That might change. I've not worked it out. I did this on the train on the way up here, and I've not worked it out. But let's say four at the back. I might go three at the back.
TBC.
Yeah. Midfield, I've got Mason Mount. Chelsea are playing Bournemouth, who are at, and it's Chelsea at home. Bournemouth are terrible.
Away from home, definitely. Yeah.
Against Spurs, they conceded those two goals that Alderweireld assisted, and then they conceded the same goal this weekend again. That's so bad. So yeah, Mason Mount will play. Wilfried Ndidi, because I already had him in my ill-fated team beforehand, and I couldn't be bothered to change it. Mohamed Salah for the same reason, and obviously Liverpool are playing Watford, so I'm hoping he doesn't get rotated. Jack Grealish, because I love him and he's quite cheap. 6.1 isn't that much. And Villa, I know Villa are playing Sheffield United away, but I think he could be instrumental in unpicking that interesting overlapping centre halves formation that Sheffield United play. I just think he's a brilliant player.
Grealish is very popular in our 1 week wonders. I think Jay had him last week, and he's every other week someone seems to have him. I think it's because he's a good price and seems to be a decent midfield pick.
Yeah. And then Adama Traore, because he's really fast and Spurs play a high line and are really slow. So I'd imagine he'll play right wing against Vertonghen or Rose, which fills me with dread. But then he's got no final ball, really, although he's getting better.
He's been getting better for about four seasons or five seasons,
he
I think.
Has, yeah.
Still struggles.
But I can see it being like a 3-2 and him scoring one or assisting
just
one.
Freight training it through everyone.
It was against City, wasn't it, where he tore them apart. Yeah.
And tightest shorts in the Premier League. Yeah. Have you seen Traore?
But they're big shorts. He's just got massive legs.
I was wondering that. I was wondering, has he just asked for a pair of kids' shorts, you know, from the club shop? Yeah.
It's a bit like Neil Ruddock. He had to have his own shorts made, didn't he?
Did he?
He was so
I might
different
have to,
reason.
Actually.
Yeah, I think you're more of a Ruddock reason than a Traore reason. No offense. I think this is. I've just worked this out. I think this is going to be a 3-4-3.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be Alexander Arnold, Sionchu, Kelly, Mount, Salah, Grealish, Traore. And then up front, Vardy, obviously.
Obviously.
Tammy Abraham, because Bournemouth. And I went through my team on the way up here that I had from the first week, and I had Giroud. So I obviously thought the Chelsea were going to do well. Picked very much the wrong striker.
FBL had no idea who was going to start either.
Did you have Giroud at one point, Sam?
Nope.
Thought one of us had him. Yeah. Might be me. Who's your captain?
I've got one other striker though.
Oh, sorry.
Who will be my captain? Harry Kane.
Ooh, captain and Kane.
That's hot overhead, obviously. But
yeah,
it could have worked well at the weekend.
Yeah,
he got a lot of points, didn't he, at the weekend? It was like must have been 10 to 13. I'm not sure exactly how many he got in the end, but did very well.
Do you
have him in your team? In your normal week to week team?
Yes.
He's been getting some points for you.
Yeah, he's basically. I mean, hang on, let me. So my normal week-to-week team was De Gea, Robertson, Hollabas, who I don't think has played since the first week, Bednarek, Salah, Sigurdsson, Winks and Eriksen, who weren't playing, Giroud, Kane, and Josh King. So, yeah, it was a bit of a hodgepodge.
Hasn't aged well, that team,
not
has
really,
it?
No. So
Sigurdsson, oh, man. At the start of the season, I had Sigurdsson. He looked like such a great pick at the time, had such a great record with Everton last season. Oh, my God. What a letdown of a man he's been this season.
Yeah, I mean, I always pick with my heart in these things, so I really like him. He was at Spurs, he was great. It's like, there was a season years ago in Fantasy Premier League where everyone had to have Thierry Henry, otherwise you just, and I just refused to pick him because he's an Arsenal player, and I obviously came bottom. And
yeah. See, I did that when Leicester won the league, and everyone was like picking Vardy and Mahrez, and I was like, well, no, it's like cheating. I'm going to prove otherwise that you can win without them. Turns out you can't. But yeah, I'm always like, if there's a high profile player who's absolutely bossing it, I just think, nah, bored of that.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting you say you've picked with your heart, but you haven't chosen Ali and Son, have you?
No.
Which everyone's making a beeline for at the moment in FPL.
Yeah, I think.
Doubling up in midfield.
Yeah, I think I didn't have enough money essentially, and I already had Salah in there, so decided to save the money. And also, Wolves are quite good, and Spurs are kind of, it's away, and I'm not 100% sure on it. And also, I don't know who's going to play, because there'll be rotation starting. Yeah, so I don't know. And obviously Kane was left at home for the Champions League game, so he'll obviously be playing. I mean, he would have played anyway, but he'll be fresh. So, and Son played in the Champions League game, so I don't know. He might get rested, I'm not sure.
Ooh, that's something for people to think
about. I doubt it, because there's a clear week after that, so yeah. There's no midweek game. So.
Let's hope so. Thank you, James. That's a decent-looking team. Hopefully it does well. The top score so far this season, 70 points. That's where you got to beat. That's Rob Parrish that got that score.
I'd love to crush Rob.
We'll have to take that snippet out. And
yeah.
That was my ringtone.
Sam, who have you got for this week?
I'm rolling it back.
Okay.
So, but I've changed my goalkeeper. So that's all I've done this week. There's a few things I'm going to change, but it's not the right week for it. So I've swapped Heaton for Henderson. And essentially just picked which team I think is going to win that match. But the rest of my team will be Soyuncu, James of the Reese fame, and Lundstrom. So I'm going to three at the back, Martial, Pulisic, Mane, De Bruyne, and Ali across the middle. This is Pulisic's last game for me, so hopefully he's going to go out on a high. He's had like three amazing games this season in terms of point scoring, and then has got bugger all for the rest of them. But apparently he's been playing really well, just hasn't scored or assisted, which is the crucial bit of fantasy.
Did you have him for the bit where he did really, really well?
I'm not sure.
You catch the end of it.
I think you might call
the end of it.
Maybe not after the hat trick, and then he scored two.
It was against Burnley that he's got the hat trick.
I think I put him in after the hat trick, and he scored in the next two games. Yeah. And then
nothing since.
And then up front, Abraham and Vardy. At the moment, Vardy is my captain, but I will weigh up whether it's Mane or Vardy throughout the coming days. So Alderweireld is benched. Ayew stays on the bench as always, and Kelly stays on the bench as always as well. This is one week I was actually tempted to play my bench boost.
All right.
Because Palace have got Brighton at home.
What stopped you?
Fear. And I'm adamant that it's when it comes to a double game week, that's a better time to play it.
Yeah, potentially. That'll be loitering towards the end of the season. You always get a bit of itchy fingers though when it gets to that stage if it hasn't come up yet.
Big time. I just thought it's next. Another way, just put a little bit of distance between you. A little bit of tease. Go, oh yeah, look, you're 4 points off. Oh no, look, you're 27 points off now.
So this week I'm taking a -4 dint. I'm making two transfers. I've thrown in Matt Target, Aston Villa defender, who I wanted in at the start of the season, but he was injured. Now he's come in, he's back, he's playing every game, and I think Villa's run is looking relatively favourable. So
I had him for a while, didn't I? I remember picking up some stick for that, but
yeah.
he got injured, didn't he? Yeah. So had to be chopped.
I think I nearly put their other fullback in. Gilbert, is it? The right back, I think, but bottled it.
Target's like, he's a wing back, isn't he? Left back. Times?
Yeah.
Gets forward.
There's
potential there for points.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. He's going to be starting for me this week. As Villa, they have Sheffield United away. Sheffield United's away record is phenomenal. I can't believe they haven't lost a game yet this season away from home.
It's amazing.
It's quite impressive.
Credit to them.
But they're at home, right? Sheffield United.
They are at home, yeah. So it's maybe there's a bit of a weak spot there potentially. Christ knows how that happens. But my other signing is Shelvey, Jonjo Shelvey. I wasn't going to make a second signing, but then I saw him score again, and I just thought I can't continue to ignore him. I feel like this could be the point where my season derails, though, because I've got two Newcastle players in, and I don't know why I've got two Newcastle players in.
Think positive, Miles. Okay, I need you to catch Sam. Right, keeps thinking positive. I'm not sure about the Shelvey one because he's so patchy. I mean, yeah, he does have a few good games, but then I always find
he's so patchy, but he's 5 million, right? And my rationale here was I had Guendouzi, who was just rotting away, getting 2 1-points a week. He's starting to be dropped now, and a lot of fans have turned on him. I'm not sure if he's going to play week in, week out. So I kind of needed a new dirt cheap fifth midfielder, and Jonjo's coming in. He's actually getting some points. I'm not even going to start him this weekend, which is ludicrous considering I've taken a -4 dint for him.
Isn't the problem with him that whatever he does, he's reliant on, unless he's going to bang one in from 25 yards, he's reliant on your front 3, 4, 5, whoever plays, doing something, which is quite unlikely.
I would say that the fact that they aren't doing anything probably works in his favour, because I think the fact that he's scoring so much is almost certainly a necessity thing. Like, Steve Bruce has probably gone in training, right, you guys are crap at scoring. Shelvey, you're great at scoring from distance. Just start pinging him in, it's fine.
It's quite a gamble, isn't it?
It's a gamble, but it's
25 yards.
It's paying off. I mean, he must. The level of accuracy must be high for him to be doing this, and it's working out. And he takes set pieces. I think that for a 5 million midfielder, he's quite good. I know it's a bit of a hype train, and it'll inevitably derail.
There's a few Newcastle players, aren't there, at the moment that look like decent picks. Williams, yeah. Jethro Williams and Fernandez are up there, aren't they?
Shah's another one I'd recommend.
Shah, yeah.
Lascelles, when he's fit and playing well, is fantastic. Like, our defence is
Shah's
great.
Not played much, has he? And he's just started to come in. Do you think Steve Bruce will be picking him, or is it?
I think he'll be playing. We still play three at the back, and then we have the wing backs that plough forward sometimes or just loiter at the back, like Jethro.
So Shah was playing a lot at the start of the season, right up until the Manchester United game. Well, the Chelsea game, actually, yeah. And then he played 45 minutes against Southampton. Mm. So he's obviously just coming back in.
Is Andy Carroll worth a punt?
No. Okay. not in a... I should caveat that. Like, he's playing well, better than Joe Linton. The problem, especially during the festive period, he doesn't have the fitness. There's just no point. He's not going to play every week.
When you say especially during the festive period, is that like
he's having a few? Yeah, it's not his best time.
Of year when there's lots of food on the table.
I wasn't thinking that, but that is also something to bear in mind. But it's just his fitness. Like he isn't a player who can play. He struggles to play 60 minutes one week. Never mind. Like there were two games this week. I think he started the midweek match and then came off the bench for the weekend one against Southampton. And he's good when he comes off. He's better than Joe Linton, but yeah, he's just not consistent.
But he might play this weekend, and then he might play, because there's no midweek game, so he might play the following weekend, and then maybe you can get rid of him.
Maybe, but Newcastle, just the attackers just aren't good enough at scoring goals. He plays so inconsistently. I wouldn't recommend it personally. I've not actually seen how much he is. He might be really, really cheap, but my guess is probably the 6 million region. I think there are probably better strikers than him, to be honest, in that area. What is he?
5.4.
I mean, if you really want to throw him in, it's an option, but I wouldn't. I think there are better Newcastle players in other positions to pick, especially defenders. Who have we got coming up, actually? I think we've got Burnley away, then Crystal Palace at home. A couple of games you could get clean sheets from. Burnley are doing terrible at the moment.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Their form's nosedived. Dag does this sometimes, though, doesn't he? Where his team just fall apart, and then, oh, we're better again.
Yeah.
Ashley Barnes is scoring again.
He doesn't react well to these kind of bad runs, usually. So,
what about you, Dave? What changes have you made to your team?
I'm not going to make any transfers this week, so I want to save my transfers for next week. So that's something that was like I was talking to you about the transfer roadmap, and that's all about getting Son in there and taking Mane out as Liverpool go off to the Club World Cup. Mm. So Pope stays in goal, Van Dijk, Lundstrom and Chilwell at the back. Pulisic, Ali, Madison, Mane and Cantwell across the middle, and then Vardy and Abraham up front. So next week, I'm going to save my transfer for this week, and then next week I'm going to bring in Rashford for Deulofeu and Son for Mane.
Okay.
So I've done the maths, that already works out. So this week I'm just going to keep fingers crossed. I don't think I've got a bad line up there. I'm looking at the fixtures that these teams are playing against. And I'm thinking actually there could be plenty of points on the table here.
You pick Cantwell and they're playing Leicester.
Yeah, because my bench is kind of poor really. I've got Rico, Deulofeu and Gibson. So Rico, Bournemouth are playing Chelsea. Deulofeu is playing like Watford are playing Liverpool, and Gibson is against Newcastle. So I can't see any points there. So really, just leaving Cantwell in is a bit of a.
Yeah, he might do a bad bunch.
Yeah, he might do something.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, Vardy will be captain again for me. Can see him doing well against Norwich. And vice-captain, maybe Mane?
Maybe Mane.
Mm.
Vardy's going to be a good choice as captain. I'm just looking at his goal record. It's just really ridiculous. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is it 9 games he's got in a row? 8 league games in a row. And then during that time, he's got 11 goals. It's a very impressive run of form for him.
Maybe I won't captain Harry Kane. Maybe Vardy.
Well, Spurs get a lot of goals from midfield, don't they? I was looking at some of the stats, and actually, Ali and Son have got better attacking statistics than Kane's got. Mm. You know, they've had more shots on goal, they have more touches in the area than Kane does. I think Kane had more shots on target, but those two are the ones that are really like the attacking threat almost, aren't they, for Spurs?
Yeah. I mean, as we discussed before, I think getting Ali and Son as well, closer to Kane. In fact, Kane the problem under Pochettino was that Kane was dropping deep and there was no one going beyond him to fill those spaces. And now, as you said, those two are. And yeah, they're the fantasy picks, I think.
You talking about Vardy as captain has convinced me to put him as captain. You've swayed me.
I think Sam had him as captain as well. He was saying either him or, did he say him or Abraham was he going to go for?
Group influence there. So I had Mane as captain, but I look at them playing Norwich at home. You would think they might have a field day in that game. Vardy might anyway.
It's an educational podcast, you see.
Yes. You learn things, we progress. On that positive note, let's wrap this up. Dave, Sam, James, thanks very much for joining us today. Listeners, you can get in touch by tweeting your fantasy football thoughts with the hashtag UKFFS.
Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, follow on Spotify, or however you listen to podcasts on your favourite platform. Leave a review if you liked it, and if you didn't, what are you still doing here? Check out Goal for your daily dose of football news from the Premier League and around the world. Thanks for listening.